Turn, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 7. The book of Luke, chapter 7. I'd like to speak tonight a little bit on the idea, the theme, that the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the place for me. That is the place for me, at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Luke chapter 7, we're going to look at about seven different things, if we see how the time is going anyway. Chapter 7 and verse 38, if we might look at that passage, we read these words. We read that the Lord Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house, and they sat down to eat. And we read in verse 37, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house." By the way, the idea of sitting there was the idea of reclining, kind of on a couch. Your feet were out behind and your head was towards the table, so to speak. And everybody was basically, you might say, couched. They were sitting around this table. And so the Lord Jesus was sitting there. And this woman, who we are told was a sinner, she was a lady, I presume she was a woman of the night, a prostitute. She knew the Lord Jesus was eating there at the Pharisee's house. And the Bible says that she brought an alabaster box of ointment, which is a very expensive perfume. And she stood at his feet behind him. She stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. We find that the idea of repentance in the Word of God is rather a wonderful word. This woman's life would be changed forever, for she had heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she that would be as despised and rejected in one sense by the religious aristocracy, she came to right into the house of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were so holy that if a fly landed on their nose when they were praying, they wouldn't knock it off, really. So they were pretty religious people. And they had the idea of their very name means that they were strict. But she came not to see the Pharisee, but she came to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a wondrous thing when a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus and they come to his feet. It's a precious thing that the Lord Jesus ever came to this earth. Precious that he ever came to the town in which this lady lived and worked her life away. But she heard all about it, and so she came to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. She sees him there sitting at meat. She stood at his feet. She was weeping, tears. We used to sing a song years ago, "Tears are a language that God understands." We find our own Lord Jesus in seeing the harshness and awfulness of some things of life and death. The Lord Jesus wept. He wept at the hardness of hearts of men. And here comes a woman and her heart is melted and she is weeping at his feet, begins to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. What a act of love and an act of contrition, really, too. This lady was changing her whole life. She had found the answer that she had been looking for. How disappointed and empty life is without him. And notice verse 48, what the Lord's response to her contrition or her sorrow for sin, her repentance. He said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven." My friends, that is a glorious thing. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. And we find forgiveness of sins at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness for those that are, one might say, the guttermost of this world, as there is for those, really the man himself, Simon, the house of Simon, the Pharisee. It was as open to him to bow at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, "You know, Simon, you didn't wash my feet." He would have cleansed Simon's heart and his whole life of sin and changed his heart. But he wasn't interested in that. He had what he wanted in his religion, as cold and hard as it was. How wondrous that we have one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is living and brings forgiveness of sin. Notice Matthew chapter 15, verse 30, if we could turn back there for a moment. The feet of the Lord Jesus Christ was a place of healing. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 30, if we might turn there. We read that great multitudes came unto Jesus, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. When I see that word, cast them down, it's as if they were hopeless men. They were hopeless. And I believe that when we see the diseased being cast before the Lord Jesus Christ, they could do nothing themselves, nor could the one that cast them before him. There was no hope, no help for them. They could not walk. They could not see. They could not speak. They could not get around. All of these things point to the helplessness of man to help himself and also to redeem his brother. Nobody can do that. And the Lord Jesus, he healed them. He healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be made whole. That's an interesting word. The maimed, the word whole there means to be saved. That's the meaning of the word. And we know in that context there it means to be healed. But we know that spiritually it points to something else, the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ to heal the sin-sick soul, to change the life, to make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Paul was given that charge that he was to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so to make the blind to see, those that were Satan's, to be brought from darkness to light, from Satan to the power of God. And they glorified the God of Israel. And there's an interesting word in verse 25. Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, "I have compassion. I have compassion." The Lord Jesus Christ is one indeed who is full of compassion. He is one who is able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And it is interesting that on the cross, all our sins were laid upon them, were laid upon him. Surely he has borne our sorrows. And he has done that. All the sorrow that your sin has caused you, all that your sin have caused other people, the Lord Jesus Christ has borne it all. So he knows it all. He knows it all intimately. The Lord Jesus Christ knows you. And it is a marvelous thing for us to come to the place where we know that there is nowhere else to turn. We are helpless. And he is one that is compassionate. Why would he bear our sorrows? Why? All that sin has caused in this old world, why would he do such a thing? Because he has compassion upon the multitude. Because he has compassion upon the sinners. And he had an equal compassion for those that were cast before him as he had for those who cast them there. The Lord Jesus Christ at his feet, it is a place of healing, of spiritual healing. It is a place of compassion. May say, the Lord Jesus wouldn't want anything to do with a sinner like me. I'm too wicked. I've gone past the point of any return. I have nothing to offer him, nothing to give him. And the truth is, of course, whenever we come to that point, that's exactly where the Lord can heal us, can save us, it can make us whole again. Again, if we turn to Luke chapter 10, this, of course, is a tremendously, all of these are very familiar scriptures. But if we look at the book of Luke chapter 10 and verse 39, Luke chapter 10 and verse 39, we read in verse 38 that Jesus entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. What a wondrous thing to be sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus and to hear him as he opens the word and as he explains the word of God. Back then, they didn't have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. They had the Old Testament scriptures, and he would open them to their hearts, explain them out, the very word of God. And she sat there and she heard the Lord Jesus and his teaching and the things that he told her. What a precious place. And Jesus remarks on this in verse 42. He said, there is one thing that is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. And it shall not be taken away from her. Where is a place for me? It is at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is there that to hear his word, to be taught by him. Mary has chosen that good part. She was a woman who knew the proper priorities of life. And the priority that was really the most important part and the part that will make eternal difference, that shall not be taken away, is the part of being before the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing his word. I pray that the Lord may find you there. And if you're not saved today, I would say this. Be where you hear the word of God. Read the word of God yourself. Be where it could be read to you or where it can be explained. And that, my friends, would be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is something that is very important. The feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a place of contrition. It's a place of spiritual healing. It's a place of learning. A disciple is a learner. And the Lord calls us to discipleship. A true discipleship is learning from the Word of God. Let's turn back to the book of Mark for a moment. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. There are two passages here. What we have in this passage, these two passages, are two parents. One is a man, one is a woman. And they are at a place of prayer. And again, there's not one thing they can do for their children. But I remember a young man who had moved to the island at a point in time, and he said to me, because when he had come, he made a profession of faith and was following the Lord, and he said, you know, you don't have much of a chance if you have a praying grandmother. And I might say, you don't have much of a chance if you have a praying mother and father. The Lord will place an awful lot of hurdles for you to have to leap over in your trip to hell. He will do that. He will do everything that he possibly can to the, in the answer of your prayers of your loved ones as they pray for your soul when you are in need of prayer. It's interesting, too, that in a sense a man didn't need to move to Prince Edward Island. Even if your children are west, even if they are north, even if they're south, if they're out in the sea, wherever they are, they cannot get away from your prayer, for they cannot get away from God. And God is everywhere, and God is powerful in his work. And so we read in verse 22 of chapter 5. One of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, saw the Lord Jesus. By the way, not all of the Pharisees were lost legalists. It's marvelous to think there are a few self-righteous people that a few people that we might judge very quickly that there's no way they could be saved, but who, when it comes right down to it, come to the right place. Someone has said, considering the noble, one woman who was of nobility, she said that she was very thankful that the Bible says there were few noble that are chosen. A few. Where she said, oh, there'd be no chance if the Bible said there would not be any. And it is also true that even those that are of the Pharisees, which as a group were so far from God, so self-righteous, so self-dependent, and legalistic, but they weren't all, thankfully. One of them found a place of prayer for their daughter. And he came in verse 22. There came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly. He begged him, which means that he just begged and pleaded with the Lord Jesus Christ, greatly saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of prayer. I pray thee, I beg thee, I petition thee. There's one who is undeserving, yet I come to thee who art so great. One that is at the feet of Jesus knows the meaning of the word Christ, that he is the anointed king. He is the Lord. We are the servants. Here is a man at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ pleading with him, my little daughter. My little daughter. You know something? That man was perhaps one of the most powerful men on the earth, and he probably never had a day when he humbled himself so low. He took the place of a beggar. He took the place of a beggar. More than anything else, he wanted the life of his little child. My little daughter, how precious she was to him. To see her in the arms of death, to see her, and we can see our own little children as they come along and as they grow up, and we know what's at stake. It is a lake of fire. That is what we're dealing with. The judgment of God. And to be at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, the lowest place that we could imagine of groveling and begging and weeping is a place of the most power. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus, it says in verse 24, that she may be healed. And by the way, the word healed again is the word saved. There is such a connection in the teaching of the Lord Jesus between bodily healing and the salvation of a soul. And so we see this one before him. You come. You can do this. She shall live. She shall live. Life. That is the important thing. That is the important thing. She's at the point of death. David could say, there's but a step between me and death. And really, what is there between any of us? Whether we are old, whether we are young, what is between us and death but a step? And it's interesting in verse 24 that Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him. Here he's coming home to his little girl, and there's one with him. He has won the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah saves. He has touched the heart of his Savior down on his knees for those that he loved so dearly. And so we see this taking place. And much people followed him and thronged him. And as we look over to the latter part, verse 42, he took the damsel by the hand, verse 41, and said to her, a Greek word, I guess, that being interpreted, damsel, I say to thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. Straightway she arose and walked. She was of the age of 12 years. Grandparents, we need to be praying for our grandchildren. We need to be praying for our children. And we need to humble ourselves before God. The feet of the Lord Jesus Christ is a place of prayer. It is a place of prayer. Let's look at verse 25, the say of Mark chapter 7, and we see a second. This, by the way, is a Gentile woman. She's not a Jewish person, as Jairus was. He was off the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and at some point or other, had become a found sheep of the house of Israel. And this woman had also somewhere came to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 7, verse 25 of this, for a certain woman, we read, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, How valuable to talk about him. How valuable to talk of him who has saved souls, who saved my soul, who has changed my life, given me life. How wonderful to share your own testimony. And this lady who had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, she came and she fell at his feet. It's marvelous to think of Gentiles being saved. It is marvelous because at one time God had chosen to work through the Jews, with the Jews, for the Jews, and to see the Lord in his mercy, saving those of us who are, in one sense, not as important. Compared here, this woman, the Lord Jesus compared the Gentiles with dogs. The Lord Jesus did this, compared with children, as to compare the Jew to the Gentile. A woman just caught him, just not that she outfoxed him, for she did not. He was not defeated by what she said, but she said, you know what, even dogs can eat from their master's table. She said, okay. One day, the Jews shall rule the whole world for Jerusalem. Yes. One day, the Jews shall send evangelists to all the world, and there shall be millions saved by a Jewish evangelist, but Gentile people being the converts. And I'll tell you something. It is a marvelous thing. The crumbs that fell from the table are the very bread of life. How marvelous that we can eat that. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, of Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him. She begged him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And then as we look further on here, he said to her, "For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Yes, my friends, the place of prayer is at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, a wonderful place of prayer. Let's look again at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 16. We read here again the story of the 10 lepers. Somebody probably figured out where we were going here before we ever got here. We would touch on this, but that's all right. That's okay. We read in verse 11 that the Lord Jesus passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. I remember a few years ago hearing a wonderful song by a trio. It was called "Since Jesus Passed By." And it came to pass that the Lord Jesus Christ, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, entered a certain village. There were 10 men. They were lepers. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He said, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, and isn't it great to think that word could properly be translated as saved, but really what happened in that specific place and time was that he was healed. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. With a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet. At the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave him thanks. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you. I wonder if we have ever come to the place where we thank the Lord Jesus for saving us, for dying for us. And he was a Samaritan, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Are there not found that returned to give glory to God but this stranger? And he said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has saved thee. Thy faith has saved thee. My friends, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ is a place of thanksgiving. If we could only imagine what it is like to be a leper. I have no interest in becoming a leper to find out, I could tell you that. But the misery of separation from men, of the loneliness and the disgusting smells and sights of the lepers, it must be a terrible situation. One man that began an assembly in a leper colony was Brother Joe Sherlock. He said, in those days, whether you were rich or you were poor, off you went. Some of them were rich. They lived in a nice house on this little island, but that's where they were exiled to. And yet, they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they had eternal life through Him. And they made a place that was so horrible to be a place of thanksgiving and praise. Isn't it something that the Lord can give us beauty for ashes? Such deformity and malignity and death eventually, and the Lord Jesus Christ is able to bring praise and thanksgiving and wholeness to the soul. The feet of Jesus is a place of thanksgiving. And it is also a place of rest. If we might turn back to Luke chapter 8, verse 35. Chapter 8 of Luke, verse 35. This is a story very well known, and I have preached on this passage more than once. Again, when I see this passage, one of the greatest sermons that I heard was again by Joe Sherlock speaking on this man, the demoniac. And but he finds a place of rest. This man was tortured, screaming through the woods, screaming through the hills, living in graveyards. No man could go near him. They could not tie him up with ropes or chains. He would break them like nothing. And then he meets the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes up to him. It is as if the Lord Jesus had set up a divine appointment. And here comes a man running down the hill, this madman running down the hill. And the demon spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ and he cast them out. And what happens to this man? The Bible says the people of the land heard about it. Verse 35, they came out to see what was done. They came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He had found rest. Rest for his soul. There's no rest for him. He ran about screaming. He could not be tamed. He could not be helped. And here we find him sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, just sitting. Maybe no one had ever seen him sit. Certainly in the early part of this passage, no one had ever seen him sit. And he was in his right mind. You know, a madman is a sinner who has not come to Christ. He is mad. He is living a lifestyle that will wind him up in hell as sure as anything. And not only that, he will wound himself and others right until he gets there. His life is full of endless, useless activity. But there is no rest. Do you have peace tonight? We find this man who was most critically miserable and a misery to the rest sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. It's interesting, again, the word. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. And again, the word in the Greek could well be translated saved. It is a wondrous picture of a man's soul released from the power of Satan. And the Bible teaches so clearly that that's who the master is. And again, a song that I have heard sung, not by my favorite singer as far as the quality of voice goes, but it was a million seller for him. You may serve the devil, which you're doing if you're not saved, or you may serve the Lord, but you must serve someone, either one or the other, but one offers you rest, and one tells you that he might give you some blessing, but he will not. He is a liar and a murderer. If you had a choice between a liar and a murderer and a Savior that would offer you grace and peace, who would you choose? You would say to me, why? I am no fool. I choose the man that would treat me the best. If I had to be the servant of one or the other, then why do you go on with Satan? And the Lord would have you to be saved and have a place of rest. Well, again, we're going to look at Mary one more time. The feet of Jesus is a place of worship. It's a place of weeping and it's a place of worship. But Mary came to where Jesus was. She saw him and fell down at his feet, saying, Lord. She worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a place of contrition and a place of repentance. It's a place of spiritual healing and salvation, a place of learning, a place of prayer, a place of thanksgiving, a place of rest, a place of worship. And I would say this, would you tonight say, that is a place for me? That is a place for me. That is where I need to be, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, even this night. We pray that it may be for those of us that are the Lord's, the feet of the Lord Jesus, of course, it is the place for us. It is the wonderful place where we can dwell saved, resting in him, worshiping him, praying to him, bringing to him the needs that we cannot do anything about, it seem to be beyond us. Everything is within his power. My friends, come to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us to understand thy word. Help us to understand the centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ, his all sufficiency, that he is able to do anything exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, that he has come all the way from heaven, that his feet indeed have walked upon the sod of this world, that his heart, showing thee, our Father, that his heart is one of compassion, is one of power, is one of open arms, and one that is so desirous that we would be saved, more so than we are ourselves, that we might be saved, that we might have eternal life. We just pray, Father, that someone might find that rest and peace that Satan's follower found at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, for Jew and Gentile alike may find a place at thy feet, not only for our own salvation, but also that we may place at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ in pleading prayer the lives of those we love most and best, or even the ones we like least for that matter, to place them at the feet of the one that is able to save a soul and change lives, who did it while he was here, who has done it many times over, whose testimony would be of him would be on the lips of many that are here. Bless thy people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.